Welcome. This is Christopher Holmes, and this is the Zero Point Radio Show through BBS Radio. It is the 24th of November, 2012. And not too long before that fateful day in December 21st, which is supposed to be coming up. But we'll have to see what really happens on that day. I woke the other day and I realized, my God, what a nightmare we've become. A nightmare as a society and as civilization. You just look at what our troops are doing over in the Middle East and all the wars being promoted, and mainly because of the control of the American government by the AIPAC and the Jewish lobby. It's terrible, the things that are being done. And in Gaza today, the poor people of Gaza, they're surrendering 1.6 million, I think, in Gaza City, and they're just being overwhelmed by Israeli firepower and weaponry. It's just terrible. And how Israel could have done this, and whether the real people of Israel really agree with this or not, I really doubt it very much. But we see it all in the media, all the propaganda supporting Israel and against these innocent Palestinians. It's terrible. And then this fear that this could escalate into another war and bring China and Japan and then invasion of Iran in, and it's just terrible. Everything that's happening in the world, it's just terrible. It's like we went to sleep with an American dream and we woke up with an American nightmare. And what do we find? We find, I look outside overhead and I see these airplanes spraying us all the time with aluminum, barium, strontium, viral matter, desecrated blood particles, spraying us all over, coast end to end over the sky. They're spraying us. 30 to 40 million tons of this material has been deposited over the United States, affecting the ground, the wildlife, your children, your pets, everybody. It's so incredible what's been done to us as a society. And you look at these GM foods, which everybody knows are poisons, and yet they're brought in and the consumer's ear is bent by the TV to advertise how it's all safe and we want to save you packaging, space on the packaging, and so on. Meanwhile, they fluoridate the water, more and more poisons in foods, inoculations, spreading illness among the young people. I see so many children now who I see them and I think, there's an autistic child or a learning disabled child. It's just terrible. I see them so much now in my community since I've woken up to this whole thing. These inoculations are just terrible. And our governments, they don't fight against all these things, the chemtrails and inoculations and so on. They support it because our governments are really controlled by this international cabal of criminal bankers. And our government supports these people. It's really quite terrible, and it's shocking to someone who wakes up thinking that we're going to be in a sane world and then see this insanity going on around the world. So anyway, that's my opening rant today. And I'm going to bring on our guest, Dee Nicholson. And Dee has been very important to this show in terms of researching widely, especially the holistic health aspect and genetically modified poisons and vaccinations and so on. And Dee is an excellent person to kind of guide us through some of what we'll discuss today. And Dee's from downtown in Toronto, Ontario. I live just south of Ottawa, Ontario. But anyway, Dee, welcome.
Thanks, Christopher. Nice to be back. We've got, just as you were saying, I was listening to your opening rant, as you called it, and I mean, good Lord, look around. You know, I sent out a little blurb to my list last night because I read a little piece on Citizens for Legitimate Government last night, News with Views, actually, .com, and it had to do with the guy who was the voice of Elmo on Sesame Street.
Mm-hmm.
Is now being charged with child abuse.
Really?
Okay, sexual predation on teenagers. Okay, it brings entirely new meaning to the Tickle Me Elmo toy. You know what I mean? But it's like, you know, I'm thinking back to when you and I were growing up. You know, people could send their kids to baseball camp. They could send their kids to scouts and guides and brownies and cubs and to track teams and to swim teams and to football teams. And in general, we didn't have to worry about our kids. You know, we could trust.
Like this, yeah.
Yeah, we could trust that, you know, people who were working with kids work with kids because they love kids, not because they had some kind of perversion going on between their ears. You know, but now you've got to watch for everything. You've got to watch for the ice cream man, for God's sake. And so it's getting to the point where literally everything is being skewed. We have no fresh air. We have no fresh water. We have no fresh food anymore. Even our fresh produce and our organic produce is affected by the chemtrails. It's mm-hmm. affected by the soil quality. And it's also affected by the fact that, in their wisdom, the powers that be have labeled organic things if they're only 95% organic, which means that, as our upcoming guest in the latter part of the show has just exposed, you're dealing with a whole lot of so-called holistic organic products that actually have GMO components in them. And some of the people who were fighting to keep labels off GMO product were actually the promoters of organic foods, because some of the so-called organic foods they're promoting actually are genetically modified organisms. And as it's been pointed out to us, the average American, and therefore I would imagine the average Canadian as well, because we eat the same stuff pretty much, we eat our own weight every year in genetically modified organisms.
Wow.
Our own weight. Now, think about that. If you weigh 150 pounds, you're eating 150 pounds of food that is not as nature made it. And these things are turning into toxins as though they were pesticides, as though they were chemicals, as though they were actual poisons produced for distribution. These things are in our foods now. Now, the interesting thing is that those who are running this planet eat nothing but organic food. They have all the heritage food available to them. And if anyone is wondering, gee, why would they put a doomsday bank of seeds up in Norway?
Yeah.
Why would they do that? Well, they didn't do it for us. They did it for them, because they wipe us out as a middle class, as a race, as, basically a herd of cows. They wipe us out, and then they reintroduce their own food for their use, but not for ours. And so the changes that are being made in human beings are dramatic and drastic and dangerous and toxic. And, gee, they're all sitting there buying their Kellogg's and their, you know, and their Wheaties and their Cap'n Crunch cereals and swallowing them like anything. And what the other side is saying was, well, you know, they're genetically modified if they're made of corn or if they're made with soy or if they're made with cottonseed oil or if they're made with canola or if they're made with sugar. It's genetically modified.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, well, that's because they didn't tell us. And interestingly enough, I'm looking at this business of all our law is based on contract law, which means you have to have informed consent. Well, where was ours? Where was ours when any of this started? Where was our informed consent when our government became our nanny?
And worse.
And worse.
Far worse.
Our perverted nanny.
In
other words, the nanny that ought to be getting arrested right about now. And where were people when they saw the crimes that were committed by the pro-GMO side during the GMO fight that just happened in California on the day of the presidential election? And when we have John Rappaport on, he's going to be talking about vote fraud and how that vote fraud affects us all. It doesn't just affect America. It affects everybody because American policy affects everybody.
Yeah.
And especially when you have a government like ours that has its nose so far up Obama's butt that they can't see for crap. You know, this is what we've got. So we have to all pay attention, and we have to all understand that these things are in Canada already. They are everywhere already. And the only thing that's going to stop is people standing up and saying, wait a minute, I didn't buy into this, and I didn't elect you for that, and that's not your job, and why are you trying to foist all this crap on us? And start naming names. These guys are anonymous, aren't they?
The people behind it all.
They're all anonymous. Don't let the people see who you are. Well, I can recall a quote from George Bush the First. Okay, he said this in about 1991, and you can find it online. It's still there. I'm not lying. Mm-hmm. And he said, "If the people knew what we have done, they'd be chasing us through the streets to lynch us." And ain't that the truth?
Yeah, that we certainly would be.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Except those of us who know that it's bad karma to kill anybody. But you know what? When people are causing danger to other people, you lock them up.
And you just see how many people through the past decades have died of cancers, which no one's able to locate the source of it. And all other kinds of diseases. Like, we really don't know what these GMs have caused over the last 20 years.
You know, and we won't know for a long time yet because a lot of these organic changes take many, many years to manifest in the body because they're that gradual. But what we do know is that, they did a test on blood supply of neonates, newborn babies, and pregnant women, and they tested cord blood on the newborns, and they found the glyphosate pesticide in the bloodstreams of both mothers and babies 100%. Okay, so when they're finding glyphosate, which is the pesticide that is produced by these plants that are genetically modified in the bloodstreams of mothers and babies both in a place like Sherbrooke, Quebec.
Wow, really?
You know, you start to realize how pervasive this stuff has been and how damaging this stuff has been. Now, bear in mind, glyphosate is a pesticide that causes insects to die by exploding their stomachs.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a lot of people with digestive problems and allergies and this and that. Well, if you're finding all this glyphosate in pregnant women's blood, how much glyphosate would you find in everybody else's blood? And how much is that glyphosate affecting our own digestive tract? Never mind an insect. Why do we have all these sudden allergies? Why do we have all these digestive complaints? Why do we have all these cancers and things, especially of the lower digestive tract, the colon cancer, intestinal cancer? Why do we have that? Why do we have a lowered sperm count? Why do we have lowered fertility? Well, it's easy enough. Look up Agenda 21. That'll give you the reason why.
Yeah, this is another huge issue. Is this Agenda 21? I mean, wanting to reduce the world's population by, 7 or 6.5 million or something?
Billion.
Yeah, billion. That's what I meant to say. Yeah,
exactly. Like, wipe out most of us. Well, quite frankly, if that's the kind of world that we're leaving to our children, don't you think it's time we stood up and stopped it?
Yeah, it certainly is. And it makes me wonder, like, what happened to all the police and the security? Like, I used to believe that, you know, the CIA and the FBI and the RCMP, all these bodies served us.
Uh-huh.
You know, I actually thought that.
Uh-huh. Well, go back to feudal times. Welcome to feudal times. Who did the knights serve? They served the masters. Who did the army serve? They served the kings and queens.
Yeah.
Who did any of these official bodies with rank and uniforms and codes, who did they serve? Every one of them served the Lord and Master. Now, if the Lord and Master happened to be a good guy, no problem.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I've said for a long time, people look at me like I'm half-cocked. But the thing is that even a global government, if it is benign and compassionate and caring, is not a bad idea. It's not about the system.
Yeah,
It's about the people running it. And if the people running it don't give a hairy hoot about how you live or how you die or whether you thrive or whether you don't, then you are automatically going to be in a tyrannical system and you're automatically going to suffer. On the other hand, no matter what the system is, if the guys in charge care about their own farm animals, then we'd all be living better.
Well, all the way through these agencies, there are these people who are going along with this agenda and pushing it on other people, and they think they're going to be saved somehow through it all.
It's called going along to get along, and you know what? That is my unfavorite phrase on the entire planet right now. Don't anybody, if you're listening to me right now, if you ever say to me, we should go along to get along, I swear to God I will punch you. I swear to God, because going along to get along is exactly what we've been doing. We have been told you can't fight City Hall, and we bought into that, and therefore we don't. And when we have something to say, oh, we'll let somebody else say it. It's their job. I'm busy.
Yeah.
Well, we've been that damn busy that we've lost our way of life. We've lost our nation. We've lost our world. And if we want it back, there is only one way to do it, and that is to get rid of all of these people who are in charge and couldn't give a hairy hoot about the rest of us.
Yeah.
And the thing that's real scary is, Christopher, you know, having said that, having gotten to the point where, yeah, we all know we got to get rid of these guys, who do we replace them with and how? You know,
yes, and it's so overwhelming because they've infiltrated all of our highest agencies.
Exactly.
Like
they've
CIA,
infiltrated
everybody.
Our lower agencies as well. Everything is on the take. Everything is on the agenda.
Yeah.
So, you know, you look at Children's Aid. There's a topic that I know people, you want to mention that word in front of Children's Aid in front of them, they go stark, raving, bonkers immediately because they know what Children's Aid does.
Stealing
it's not
children,
aiding children.
Yeah.
It's aiding the bottom line. It's all one big make work project, and most of our population is dependent on government one way or another. Either they're looking for their entitlement under welfare programs or they're directly working for the government.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and those people are not going to risk their well-being.
Yeah.
Even
exactly.
though we know that, you know, getting rid of all this stuff is, but you see, the system's got so big.
Yeah.
It's got so pervasive that people are terrified of dropping the devil they know for a devil they don't know. Because who's, you know, like I said, who's going to replace all this? What's going to happen? I've seen people over the years, and I'm sure you have too, people who say, well, it should be this way and it should be that way. And we should be following what this guy says, or we should be following what that guy says. And I'm going, wait a minute, who are these people? And why should we be listening to them? And if their system is so much better, who's going to run it? Them? I don't know anything about them. I can't trust them. And furthermore, you know who else I can't trust? Is the rest of us. And that's the scary part.
Yeah, people are so dumbed down by the mainstream media now.
Yeah.
So that seems the principal cause of what's happening.
Of course it is. Remember Art of War, Sun Tzu. You're very familiar with Sun Tzu. I know you are. And what's the first tenet of controlling population? Well, you control their information.
Yeah.
You control what they know and what they don't know. You go back into history. You look at the Khazari who migrated from the Caucasus across Eastern and then Western Europe and set up churches and bishoprics all over Western Europe, to the point where the Pope had the Spanish Inquisition to get rid of these people. Well, they were never the kind of religion that they started out to be. What they did was they adjusted themselves in order to make the conquering people look more acceptable to those being conquered.
Yeah.
Never had any basis to do with reality.
These are the Khazarians, like the Khazarian Jews, they're called.
Exactly.
Now. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, who've infiltrated the churches. Yeah.
Yeah, they adopted Judaism in order, because, see, the Christians and the Muslims were always fighting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? The Jews, they weren't fighting with anybody. Okay? So when the Khazari got to Europe and they were conquering all these lands and they conquered and conquered and conquered and conquered their little faces off, okay, what do they do? Well, hey, they look at what's going on religiously, and they think if they can take care of all these people's spiritual matters, that's going to help a lot. So what do? Well, they think, well, it'd be a whole lot easier to control these people if we looked more like they do.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
They picked a religion that wasn't at war, which was Judaism, and faked their way through it.
Oh, yeah.
They faked their way through it. And the reason that they did that was because while a lot of people weren't Jewish, they could accept Judaism. They weren't at war with it. They weren't fighting with it. They didn't have to adopt it.
Yeah.
So they just allowed it. And then along comes the Catholic Church and says, wait a minute, they're getting more money than we are. Next thing you know, Pope Innocent, what a name, eh? Innocent the Third. Pope Innocent, oh boy. He starts the Spanish Inquisition, okay? Kill the infidels. And there's a famous line of one of the knights or you know, top guys, I guess one of the top crusaders, are crossing a bridge into a Spanish city, and he says, how do we tell the infidel from the faithful? And the other guy says, I don't know, kill them all.
Yeah, I believe it.
Hello, where have we been the last 500-600 years?
Yeah, really, it's shameful.
Well, what's shameful is, you know, I got a 4-year-old grandson.
Yeah.
Ask me if I'm comfortable handing this world over to my 4-year-old grandson.
Yeah.
Is anybody comfortable handing this world over to their children? I don't know. But I can tell you, I'm sure not. My kids are adults, and I'm ashamed of myself. I'm ashamed that I spent as long as I did in the Twilight Zone.
Yeah, to wake up to the whole thing. Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
For me, it was only 2006 that I woke up when I learned the fraud of 9/11. And that's like so late. I should have known it like 30 years before.
Well, yeah. And, you know, the funny part of it was, I can remember back in the 90s, and you know I'm all over the free trade issue because it isn't anything close to free.
Yeah.
And the costs of it are our sovereignty and our nations are basically being raided through trade groups. And
yeah.
I didn't figure that out. In the 90s, I saw people protesting about the trade groups, the NAFTA and all that kind of stuff. I saw them all protesting, and I'm going, but what's wrong with trade?
Yeah, for sure.
Well,
free trade, too.
Yeah,
it's
well,
going to be free.
There's nothing wrong with trade. There's nothing wrong with trade. But there is something wrong with trade agreements. Because they're international contracts that we never needed before. Why do we need them now? Why can't we do business as honorable people with a handshake the way it was done forever?
Mm-hmm.
It's always been done that way. Only in this century do you see international contracts which supersede domestic law, including our constitutions. Our constitutions are toast, and when I quote George Bush II, Mr. W., okay, he said, Constitution's nothing but a goddamn piece of paper. That's what he said.
I know.
I didn't make it up.
No.
That's what he said. Now, you know why he's right? Because of international trade contracts. That's why. And even if you go back to, well, was the actual Constitution ratified by all the states at the time? Well, probably not. Mm-hmm. But the bottom line there is, it's not even usable now. You know, they're only allowing certain parts of it to be used, and it's an illusion.
Yeah.
It's an illusion. Any part of our Constitution that impinges on trade is gone.
Yeah.
You know, David Cameron, former the Prime Minister of Britain, okay,
mm-hmm.
he said human rights are getting in the way of fighting terrorism.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. He said those pesky human rights are just in the way of enforcing against terrorism and protecting the British people. So
wow.
give up your rights
terrible.
Now, folks. What? You see, this is where we've been heading, and it's everywhere. It's in every aspect of our lives. As you pointed out rightly at the beginning of the show, it is about who's deciding to dump poisons on us, who's deciding to dump poison in us.
Yeah.
The vaccines, oh my God. But the evidence, people, the evidence is coming out now. The solid, verified, scientifically peer-reviewed, guaranteed accurate, truthful science is coming out now, finally. People are breaking the traces and saying, no more are we keeping our information hidden. No more are we going to hide it from everybody who can use it.
Yeah, we can't anymore.
No,
it's
we
too
can't.
Late. It's
we
way
can't.
Too late
and,
in the game.
Yeah, and there. Yeah. And not only that, you know, and I know, I mean, I say it quite often. I say thank God for stations like BBS that allow
yeah.
the truth to be told, because
yeah.
a lot of them are being threatened. People are being fired in mainstream journalism for questioning anything.
Yeah. Yeah, mainstream journalism, it's just such a fraud. I mean,
it's
I saw
journalism.
That when I could see how they helped stage the 9/11 attacks, that
oh,
they
yeah.
had they had all made an agreement and they went along with the staging
oh, yeah.
of it. Yeah.
Yeah, and boy, did they screw up. I mean, look at what BBC did.
Yeah.
BBC announced the fall of WTC numbers building 7 20 minutes before it fell.
Yeah, the first high-rise apartment building to ever collapse due to, what was it, fire? Oh, yeah.
What fire? Sure. What fire?
Yeah.
What
a few
hit?
Little fires in the building, but I think they'd had bombs go off in the morning, as I understand it.
Well, actually, they had, you could see, there was video of it when the building went down. You could see the squibs going off at every beam.
Yeah,
every support beam along the face of the building went poof, poof, poof. Oof,
yeah.
Oof. All in a line. Not at once. All in a line. One after the other. Now that is a sequential demolition.
Yeah.
Those are sequential charges designed to make a building fall in a particular way.
Yeah.
And any demolition expert will tell you that's exactly how they do it. So there we are. We have it in front of our eyes. We see it with our own two eyes. The media comes on and says, oh, no, no, no. And we go, oh, okay, go back to sleep now.
Yeah.
Like,
Dee, before, on the mid-hour, we're going to John Rappaport. So I wanted to leave the GMO issue at the moment. But there were two other things I'd wanted to ask you about. And the first of those was, what happened in Vancouver when the smart meters were being brought to court? I think it was about a week or so ago.
Yeah, well, actually, that was not really such an important case. It was something that was brought forward and was dismissed, like, much, much before that. And this was, they were seeking leave to appeal. And from what I hear from the Citizens for Safe Technology this week, they're saying, no, it was a learning experience about where to go and where not to go, and now we're going to take a different tack. And essentially, I think that what they should have done was they should have stayed away. And, you know, even some of the people that I'm in touch with that are very, very well informed were saying the same thing. You don't want to argue on a he said, she said when it goes towards things like genetically modified foods or EMF, microwave, they're going to come out with science that sounds just as reasonable as our own. And when
you do that
and you feed that to the population, which is already dumbed down, what you get is a big fat question mark emblazoned on everybody's forehead, and nobody knows what to do about it. So they say, oh, well, let it ride. Let's go back to sleep.
Yeah.
Right? Well, the problem is that people are being denied their informed consent. They're not being told all the aspects of it. They're not being allowed to make a choice based on the information that is supplied by everybody. Okay? That includes the no side and the yes side. You're entitled to hear all of it. And we should all be entitled to know what's being stuck on our walls, what's it going to cause, what kind of effects it's going to have on our health, and is it worth our worry? And if we decide that it is worth our worry, we have the absolute right under healthcare law, under constitutional law, under every kind of contract law you can name, we have the right to informed consent. They cannot deny that. They cannot say we don't have the right to informed consent, and they cannot tell us when we feel informed enough. Only we make those determinations. So consequently, everybody who tries to fight information versus information, well, you know what? You're going to be in for a hell of a battle, because it turns into a he said, she said. Once it's a he said, she said, nobody can judge it properly.
So that's what happened then in BC. They decided that wasn't the format, and they had to take an alternative approach.
But they're going to. They're going to. That's not, you know, I have every faith in that group. I mean, we've had Eunice St. Clair on this show. We've had other people with her.
Yeah.
And, you know, we pretty much know these guys, they're not going to quit.
No.
They are not going to quit. And it might be a little bit scary in the interim to see this turned down and that turned down, but some cases are just not, they're just not the main deal. And because they're not the main deal, it's, you know, all it is okay, more information, next time we'll do it right, next time we'll do it better. You try, and you try again. If it doesn't work the first time, tweak, change, address, respond, try it again. Because I read something very interesting in an article. I think you may have seen it, but there was it was actually an emotional piece about, you know, loving people while you have the chance, because you never know when they're going to die.
Yeah.
You never know when you'll never again have an opportunity to say, Mom, I love you, or my son, I love you. You never know. Any of us could step off a curb tomorrow and be gone from the planet. And if you haven't said the right words at the right time, you won't get the opportunity.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things that was said was that it's amazing how many people would have, had they not given up, would have succeeded, but quit because they believed they might fail. And so right now, I think that's one of the most important pieces of advice we can give anybody. Don't give up on anything, because all of our lives are at stake. Don't quit on anything. There is always an avenue home. We were not put here to be lost forever.
Yes,
we were put here to find our way back.
Yeah.
And that way back exists no matter what they throw at us.
And different people can stand up for all these different issues. Like in the States, the ICLEI agreement is taking people, the farmlands away. You were saying in one of your emails about 95% of farmers were going to lose their land. And
Oh, wait. Gets better. Found a new one this week.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Okay, just sent this one out yesterday or the day before. And bear in mind, I've been moving, so I've been offline for a few days. Came back to 230 emails in one whack.
Ooh.
But at any rate, what I sent out yesterday was the fact that they are now changing the death tax rules in the States.
Oh, yeah.
This is a sneaky one. This is really dirty. And I'll tell you, people, there's a solution. I'll tell you about it at the end of this. Okay, here's the deal. They have a death tax in the States. They have had a $5 million exemption. The first $5 million of estate value is tax-free.
Yeah.
Okay, and then on the remainder, if there was more than $5 million worth, you paid 35% estate tax on, which is ridiculous. These things have all been bought, paid for, and taxed already to death. Now, because somebody's body gives out, all of a sudden they're a tax item again.
Yeah,
so
really.
So it's really dirty. However, they're getting dirtier. Now what they're doing is, as of January 2013, they have lowered the exemption to $1
million.
Okay?
Oh, yeah.
Now, after that, then the remainder is going to be taxed at 55%, not 35%.
Wow.
It's gone up 70%. The tax has gone up 30%, where the exemption has dropped by 80%. Now, what's the effect? Well, look at the average family farm. The average family farmer could be struggling along, just barely making ends meet because of, thank you very much, all these and everything else. And what's going on there is that these people, when they die, will no longer be able to leave their estate to their children because their children will have to pay tax on anything over $1 million in value. Well, look at the value of farm equipment. Look at the value of land. Look at the value of what they put into it. These guys are sitting on millions of dollars.
Yeah. All tied up in there.
All
real
tied
estate.
Up. They're not making an income.
No.
But all of their, they're tied up in debt. They're tied up in this. They're tied up in that. And now along comes the federal government and says, guess what? After $1 million, you're paying tax. So there goes your family farm, taken up as a death tax by the federal government of the United States.
Wow.
Okay, there goes anything, and family business, same deal, not just family farm.
Mm-hmm.
Businesses also own real estate, they own assets, and they may not be making a lot of profit, but they're sitting on these assets. And now with this change to the estate tax rules, nobody's going to be able to leave their family anything unless they're part of the super rich.
Wow, really?
So there you go. It's eminent domain with a twist.
Yeah.
Now, that's for our American friends. Up here, the provinces set their own death tax regs, and we have no federal death tax. But watch that coming.
Oh, yeah.
Because if you think for a hot second that our Mr. Harper is not going to mimic everything,
yeah,
you'd be out of your ever-loving mind. You know, so this is where we're heading. We're losing our land, we're losing our rights, we're losing our food, our air, our water, our medicine, everything. They're taking it all over only because of one thing. And that is, we are dumbed down as a race, as a human race. We are dumbed down, and we are not paying attention to anything but our sorry little lives. And how are we going to pay the rent next month? And if you think that's not deliberate, think again. You know, keep the people poor, control the money, control the food, okay? Control the information, and you control the population. And that's what they've done.
Yeah, it's controlling the information because most people still rely on their newspapers and TV stations and radio stations.
Yeah,
and all of that is controlled, and they
all
don't understand that.
No. And it's all controlled by an agenda that they don't understand. They think that people in government are these same smiling people who came to their door, knocked on it, and said, please vote for me because I'll be your voice in Ottawa. Ha!
Yeah.
Some voice. They're absolutely, they're hogtied and gagged by these trade agreements, and yet they claim to represent us. Now, I think I said on the show earlier in the summer, I said that, I'm hearing that there's a little bit of a revolt going on in the back benches of the Conservative Party, and there bloody well ought to be.
Yeah, really.
Because every single one of them is complicit. And every single one of them, I look at the Jack Layton story. Oh, my Lord.
Yeah. Yeah.
More and more people are now figuring, you know, there's something funny here because everything changed about the NDP. And guess who's coming out really pro-free trade right now? Thomas Mulcair.
Oh, yeah.
The new leader of the NDP after Jack Layton.
Oh, yeah.
So, in other words, Mulcair has taken the NDP and completely reversed their position on free trade.
Yeah, wow.
Completely reversed it. Well, so who do we have now?
No one.
No one. Except
yeah, no one.
Us.
Yeah.
Except us. So, what does this whole scenario tell you? No matter which way you slice it, no matter how you cut it, the bottom line is, if we do not do the work ourselves, it is not going to be done. End of story. It is not going to be done.
All these people just have their little part in this huge, monstrous conspiracy against us. And everyone just claims that's all they know, and they don't tie it to the larger framework.
And nobody's seeing the big picture, and of course that's deliberate too, because if you see the big picture, well, hey, you understand the forest despite the trees.
Yeah.
And if you understand the forest, then you go, holy smokes.
Yeah,
but,
we're in
you
trouble.
Know, the thing is that they play this little game called divide and conquer, and that's real interesting too. Because what they do is they give you this issue to fight and that issue to fight and fight over here and fight over there. And what they're doing is they're sitting back laughing. It's like they're throwing little bits of kibble out a window and we're all racing to fight for the kibble.
Yeah.
Instead of going, wait a minute, we started storming the balustrades. We started knocking down their door. Now we're chasing kibble they throw out of a window like we're some kind of squirrel.
Yeah. That reminds me, Dee, of the other thing I wanted to bring up. What is happening with this Canadian-China accord? That was on the table at one point.
Oh, I'm so glad you brought that up.
Okay.
I am so glad you brought that up. See, now I have a rather twisted viewpoint on that. And people might not agree with me entirely. You're free not to agree, but this is the way I'm seeing it. The FIPA, this is the Foreign Investment Protection Partnership that is being, or Protection Agreement that is being put together by China and Harper. Okay. This agreement is one with one of the most deadly and nasty regimes on the planet, and our government knows it. And has always known it, and yet they are proceeding to give, as Shelley-Ann Clark so ably expressed on our last show, they're willing to sell the farm to China and basically allow China to come in and say, oh, I want that piece of land. Okay, there it is, and everybody gets kicked off, including natives on reserves, including private property, private businesses, private this, private that. Doesn't matter. China, under this agreement, would have the right to come in and take anything it wanted.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, here's the interesting thing. I suspect that it's a loss leader because there are two other agreements that are just as bad and, in fact, worse because they dictate regulations and standards to us. And that would be the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which Harper already adjusted our standards in order to become a negotiating party in that agreement at the behest of Mr. Obama. He changed some regulations in Canada via the Supreme Court. Gee, who do they work for? Justice? For the people? Or for the PMO? Apparently, it's the PMO. So now they've made these changes. Now Canada is now a full negotiating partner in the Trans-Pacific Partnership. Well, what's that? Well, it just links us up with one of the most repressive health freedom regimes in the entire world. The Therapeutic Goods Agency in Australia is absolutely deadly. You can go to jail for having the wrong vitamin in Australia.
Yeah, can you?
Oh, yeah. You can go to jail. For 5 years.
Wow.
Okay, so this is what we're signing to, and this agreement will tie the sovereignty of the United States, Canada, and every other nation in the TPP, which covers most of Southeast Asia and New Zealand and Australia, all of which together make one huge economy, as well as the United States, as well as Canada. Okay, there's one. Then we have the other one that we've talked about ad infinitum, and that was that's the CETA, the Comprehensive Economic and Trade Agreement with the European Union. And that one dictates what kind of products we buy for municipal services, for example. Where do we buy our garbage services from? Where do we sell our water utilities? All of these things are all covered by the TP or by the CETA. Okay? They're all covered by that. It's the most in-depth trade agreement we've ever created. And this is with the European Union, where we have one vote against 27 of them at the table.
Wow.
Hello. So Canada doesn't exactly stand a snowball's chance in hell of ever having what Canadian people want on the table, because all of it is kowtowing to the international contracts.
Yeah.
Okay, and so you got those two going on. At the same time, where's all the hoo-ha? Well, the hoo-ha is with FIPA, with China. But this is how I see it. I see the Chinese as extremely smart and extremely patient. And what do they want? They want our land and resources. Well, our land and resources aren't going anywhere, are they? They're in the ground and on the ground.
Yeah.
So they're not going anywhere. So can the Chinese agreement, FIPA, can it be delayed without any real deleterious effects on the deal? Sure it can. Why? Because China's patient. China will wait hundreds of years to get what China wants. They're not like North Americans. They want everything last week.
Yeah.
Right? But they're very patient, and they're very precise, and they will not mind a little bit of a delay. In the meantime, what does Harper look like for delaying FIPA? He looks like he's listening, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're right.
And if he looks like he's listening, what are the people going to do about CETA and the TPP? Well, they're going to say, well, if he's listening on FIPA, he'll listen on those too. And
yeah.
Back to sleep they go.
Yeah.
And well, out the door go our rights.
What do you see, Dee? Like, what is Harper's agenda? Is he really, like, he's a globalist, so he wants us to be brought under Chinese control.
That's his, no, not Chinese control, global control. China is just, they're a minor player in this.
Yeah.
You know, everybody thinks, oh, this country's a major player. No, no country is a major player in this.
Okay.
The whole goal under Agenda 21, mm-hmm. which is a UN agenda, it is international. It is not local
yeah.
to anybody. It's international. Okay? So Agenda 21 says that sovereignties are not sustainable because sovereignties determine that different countries can have different rules according to what their people want.
Yeah.
And that's not, they say it's not sustainable because we all share the planet. And I'm going, well, you know what? Being decent to each other is perfectly sustainable. And morality cannot be legislated. So why are you trying to legislate some kind of spurious morality on the rest of the world when all that has to be educated is do no harm to anyone and no harm can return to you? If what goes around comes around, if you don't send it around, it ain't coming back. Plain and simple. And that's
yeah.
how we used to deal as honorable people, with a handshake, with good intentions, with full truth, with honor and honesty and decency. And where's it gone? It's gone the way of the contract. The same as a marriage used to be a marriage between two people who wanted to commit to each other. Now there's a ding-blasted prenup in the way.
Yeah.
One partner has, the other partner hasn't. Now they got to protect their assets. Well, I thought it was all about with all my worldly goods I thee endow. What happened to that?
What happened to that?
Yeah. What happened to the partnership of marriage? People give up. And because they give up, okay, everything goes poof, gone.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the reason
school.
For the prenup. Well, again, yeah. if people were moral and had the right values in their marriages, they wouldn't be splitting up. And there'd be no need for a prenup because it'd be a happy family.
Yeah.
Show me a happy family. Show me one.
I'll have to find one.
Yeah. Well, good luck. Call me when you're done.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? It's just getting ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's just getting ridiculous out there. You know, I don't, really, I'm very often at a loss for words, which is very unlike me, as you know.
Yeah.
I've got 5,000 select words to say on any subject you want to name, you know, But this,
like a body like the UN, like we don't really know who lays behind the UN, or
no,
do
we don't. That.
No, we don't.
We don't know the mechanisms of anything anymore because they made everything so complex.
Yeah.
You know, you call up one office and they'll say, okay, I'll direct you over here. And then they direct you over there. And then they direct you to 9,000 other places. And after about 5 or 6 hours on the phone and getting nowhere, what do? Give up.
Yeah.
Okay? It was the same as trying to get through to Bell Repair the other day when I had a problem getting my phone line hooked up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it says on their website, oh, Bell Repair is available 24/7. Really? Try getting through to them.
Oh, yeah.
Not going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so the same kind of thing is going on here. You've got people bounced around to the point where they get dizzy and they get angry. And they go, to hell with that. I'm hanging up. I've done enough for one day.
Yeah.
There you go. And this is exactly what's happening. Every issue that is important to us, everything that we need to know about, they bounces around. And then, guess what? We're out of luck. It's an international contract. We can't get out of it. And people walk around going, duh, what can you do but go along with it? Because you can't fight City Hall. And there go more rights, and there goes more of our livelihood, more of our lifestyle, more of our national wealth, more of everything is gone again.
Yeah, I mean, we just see the decimation of the middle classes in North America.
Completely deliberate.
Yes.
It's completely deliberate. It's been going on for a very long time. It's been proceeding apace, and they're doing a really good job of it. Because I'll tell you, if you go out, just go grocery shopping. If you go into the big food stores, the big fancy markets, you'll find there's fewer and fewer people shopping there. Why? Well, that's because now more and more people are forced to look for discount prices on their food.
And they're avoiding the big stores, you say?
They're avoiding the big stores. If you go into a place like Food Basics, okay,
mm-hmm.
you'll find things, and No Frills. And, of course, No Frills makes me laugh because it's a Loblaws operation. And just as one example, they have a brand of cat litter that's made out of corn husks.
Mm-hmm.
Or like the corn, the not the husk, the actual cob itself, the ground up, dried up corn cob, perfectly natural, very very safe, biodegradable, good for cats, good for any animal that uses litter. They sell it at it's expensive. They sell it at Loblaws for $9, and I believe it's $9.99 or $9.49.
Mm-hmm.
They sell the same ownership. Just about as fancy a store at No Frills, they sell it for $2 less. So where are you going to go to get it?
Yeah, No Frills.
Exactly. Because if you have 5 or 6 items with a $2 difference, now you've paid your gas to go to the other store, and anything beyond that is pure savings into your pocket. So these big guys, I have heard from insiders that companies like Loblaws are in trouble.
Oh.
Loblaws and Sobeys are in trouble. And because they're in trouble, we can expect what to happen. We can expect that they're going to cut staff. We will not expect that they're going to cut prices.
No.
Because that's not their game. So they will cut their costs of operations in order to stay open. This is their idea of lean and mean, is to be lean themselves and mean to people.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so that's what they're doing. And now we're hearing that some of these stores, like I think Loblaws just dumped 700 staff.
Oh, yeah.
Something like that. I heard they dumped all.
This is in Canada.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's all over the place. So you look at the crowds that are going to Food Basics and No Frills and places like that and Costco.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And son of a gun, aren't they making a fortune?
Yeah.
Aren't they making a fortune? And, you know, in the States, Sam's Club, people don't realize that's Sam Walton of Walmart fame.
Oh,
right, so all of these cheap goods that they buy at Sam's Club and at Costco, where are these things coming from? How come all of a sudden, because they're bought in bulk, can the prices be so low as compared to the other stores?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, by the time you add all this information up, what you've got is you've got a mess that is comprised largely of people's ignorance and people's vulnerability to stupid information that shouldn't ought to pass their lips. But it does.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people are suffering because of all of this. Nobody seems to care. You know, nobody seems to care. And then you see that these guys very often will sabotage their own smaller operations for the sake of their larger operations.
Yeah.
And then the people who work there, well, too bad, so sad, you can go on unemployment insurance. Well, who pays for that? We do.
Yeah.
You know, so it's coming out of our pocket. Every time they trash something because of free trade, mm-hmm. we pay.
Yeah.
We pay.
Yeah, into the welfare.
Yeah. So where does the elite ever get a hit? They don't. They don't ever take a hit.
Yeah.
We take the hits.
Oh,
not
yeah,
them.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Wow.
So it's getting very, very scary out there. And then on top of that, what do we have? And very shortly, we have John Rappaport joining us. And one of the key issues that is going on right now is it's becoming very obvious that vote fraud is afoot. Big
yeah,
time.
For sure.
So, you know, even if you want to replace what's going on with something better, you're prevented.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so this is going to be interesting, I can tell you. Because John's been doing some amazing stuff. He's discovered in the Proposition 37 game alone, felonies being committed, and the very people who are left to enforce it are run by the same companies that want it that way.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack comes from Monsanto. Deputy Commissioner of the FDA comes from Monsanto.
Yeah.
And the yes sign used the FDA logo and statements that the FDA didn't make. They lied. That's a felony.
Yeah, and they get away with it all.
And and then now I'm finding out that these big banks are getting fined for some of their little shenanigans that led to the bailouts and everything else, and they're getting hit with, you know, $297 billion fines, blah, blah, blah. But the guys who did it are getting off scot-free. The corporations themselves and the banks themselves, well, they're taking that payment off other people. So they don't get penalized for anything.
Yeah.
We get penalized. And now they're cutting out the insurance on deposits in the States, the transaction account guarantees.
Mm-hmm.
Holy smokes, can FDIC be too far behind? You know, in Canada, can that be too far behind? Because if they crash, we know that.
Yeah. Wow.
Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy.
Wow.
Sure, go out and multiply. Be fruitful. Have more kids. Good way to handle it. Hand it over to them. Let's see what an infant can make out of it while suffering with soy formula that's GMO and causes them to either be gay or not be able to reproduce.
Yeah, or autism, or it's ADHD, or whatever.
Or whatever. Yeah. You know, let's just, you know, sit back, do nothing while all this happens to our children. Let's let them solve it. Well, that's not where I'm coming from, you know. Do I need to go to another planet to find like-minded people, or where are they?
Yeah, really. I don't know where they are.
I don't know either. I know I'm talking to one.
I mean, we've got the internet is our main locus of activity, really.
Yeah. And they think that we're on the internet, therefore we're divided. But what they found out is once you're on the internet, you're not divided at all. So what are they doing now? They're trying to take over the internet.
Yeah, exactly.
So
I understood might be done by the UN. Had you heard that?
Oh yeah. There's all kinds of stuff, and of course this is all for your security.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Security against what? A virus? Well, that's what antivirus programs are for.
I guess there's just so many people in our government and higher senior posts that they've joined all these secret societies and such, and are going along with this whole agenda. Like, it amazes me. How did this happen to us? Like, you know,
money.
How did we get to this position? You know?
Money.
Money, yeah.
It's always money.
The
it's
root of
money.
All evil, eh?
Yeah, well, the love of money is the root of all evil. And when you see evil people, you can see the love of money going on, and you can see it real quick.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and it's disgusting. The whole thing is disgusting. The whole thing is demeaning to human beings. It's demeaning to who we are as humans. But that's okay for these guys. They don't care.
No, they don't.
They don't care.
They really
and why
don't
the rest of us? Have we lost our humanity that deeply, that profoundly, that, you know, we can't care anymore? Is that what's going on? Because God help us if that's the case.
Yeah.
God help us all.
Yes, very sad.
You know, may as well put your head between your knees and kiss your butt goodbye at that point.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, well, that's kind of the position we're in at the moment.
Yeah.
I don't know if I hadn't heard any note from the station that John is on yet.
Well, he will be momentarily, I'm sure.
Yeah, we're just coming
he got
up
his
to...
date wrong last week and said, "Are we there?"
oh no, really, did he?
Yeah. Well, you know what? Ever since John's been coming out, I mean, he's now having his articles reposted by people like Mike Adams and Alex Jones and even David Icke, and he's becoming a lot more in demand. He's been swamped ever since the Proposition 37 issue and the election came up, and, you know, getting him even for this half hour is a real blessing, because John is very, very special. But he just told me last week, he said, "Oh, hell," he says, "I forgot." He says, "I don't know whether I'm up or down these days." And I said, "Well, you couldn't be any more fried than me. I've been moving." So just gives you an idea. But, yeah, no, John has done some phenomenal work. I mean, I'm just looking at his homepage right now. It's nomorefakenews.com.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at the headlines of the stories that he's got up right now. He's got... Who are the experts promoting the loss of Proposition 37? A call to hackers everywhere. Test the Prop 37 vote count. Then he talks about disrupting the flow of Matrix virtual reality. He's got federal investigators lying through their teeth in the Petraeus probe. He's got why the Prop 37 count is too perfect. And was the Yes on 37 campaign undermined? And then he talks about Obama and his overt support of GMOs and Monsanto, despite the fact that his family only eats organic.
Yeah, I understood that.
It's like,
yeah.
Michelle, hello, honey, you got an organic garden. Don't try and put it over on the rest of us that we shouldn't be eating it too. You know, them's my words to.
I guess there's no way of trying to reverse the Proposition 37. Like, there's no way that anyone can claim voter fraud, because there's no evidence, is there? It's once people vote, then the tallies are conducted by the machines, and they give us the final result.
Yeah, well, wait to, you know, John explained that very well in some of his columns recently, because what they did was they made a projection.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't, you know, and I mean, they do it in all the elections. They, you know, this media outlet or that media outlet will project a win in this riding or that riding, and they'll mm-hmm. say, this is how it's going to go. And,
yeah.
You know, sometimes they're wrong and sometimes they're right.
Yeah.
But in this case, the call on the vote on Proposition 37 came with more than 3.5 million votes uncounted. And these are all either write-in ballots or advance poll ballots, all the kind of provisional ballots. These are all the kinds of ballots that go missing.
Yeah, and whole counties, too. I mean, he had a whole bunch of counties that he listed that they had where they hadn't
exactly.
counted the votes. Yeah.
Exactly, whole counties, and yet this projection is coming in and saying, oh, well, it's going to go the rest of the way. And of course, after the fact, we don't know whether they just proved that they were right or whether they manipulated so they could be right.
Yeah.
We don't know, and we will never know. Without hackers, we don't know.
Yeah.
But of course, they've made it totally against the law to hack anything, so there you go.
Yeah. But we see. I don't think we've been getting John in the background. I don't know if he might be there. Or,
maybe Doug's still excited about what's going on at BBS. Because we know he is. There's going to be some pretty interesting stuff happening at this radio station in the near future, and I hope that it's going to be, you know, very, very good for this show in particular and for others that are sharing the same kind of information. It's going to be excellent.
Yeah.
But we've got to, at this point, get John on somewhere, so hopefully Doug will track him down. We know the numbers, right?
I'm trying.
Oh, he's trying. Okay. Okay. Well, we can maybe leave aside the Prop 37 for the moment, and hopefully we'll get John back on. And I don't know what else is happening. Do you see D on the world stage or the local stage?
Well, what I'm basically seeing is that, you know, there's all kinds of distractions going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
And these distractions are getting really, really ridiculous, because it's like you talked about at the top of the show, you talked about Palestine.
Yeah.
Okay, now how do you ignore Palestine?
How I
do you
don't
ignore
know.
That? It's, as you said, it's terrible. It's a horror. It is a perversion of humankind to see what is being done to Palestine.
I know, it's awful. It's just unbelievable. I can't believe Jewish people I know would support something like that. Unless they're so brainwashed, but I wouldn't think they are in Canadian and American society. I'm just wondering, like, how can people support this? How can't they see how wrong this is? It amazes me. You see a few people who stand out within the Jewish community who are kind of claiming that Israel is a false state and you know they're opposing what's being done by the Israeli government.
Yeah. Well, here's my point. You know what my point is, Christopher?
Mm-hmm.
I am sick and tired of hearing people argue whether or not Israel is a legitimate state or whether Palestine is a legitimate state. I'm sick and tired of all these political arguments about that crap, because
mm-hmm.
what it does not address is the suffering of other human beings because of the argument.
Yeah.
And as far as I'm concerned, you know, arguments about this or that can be solved at a bargaining table. They can be solved over the phone. They can be solved with a handshake. They can be solved a million ways. But what cannot be solved is people's abuse of other people, other human beings. And when I see Israel, which is armed to the teeth, thank you very much, Mr. Obama, and all of your previous governments in the States, who hands over $3 billion in aid to a non-aid-generating country every year out of U.S. pocketbooks, taxpayers' pocketbooks, and our own government gives money to a non-aid-generating state. And then these guys who are armed to the teeth with the latest technological weaponry, a large amount of which they've invented themselves, right? And it's given to them by the United States to kill Palestinians, to wipe out their olive groves, to destroy their houses, and to take over more and more and more of their former righteously held property. Instead of people just saying, okay, we're here now, can't we just get along? Can't we just treat each other with respect? Can't we just do no harm to each other?
Mm-hmm.
Can't we work this out somehow as human beings? You know, it doesn't matter how they got there. What matters is, what are they doing now? Are they doing harm? Yes, they are.
Yeah.
Why are they doing harm? What, because a few Palestinians have a couple of rockets that are sort of like firecrackers up against the Israeli weaponry?
Yeah, it always sounded to me that the Palestinian rockets must be born out of Israel somehow. I'm sure they have Israeli agents in Palestine who launch these stupid little rockets over. Because they're so useless. I think they killed one person maybe through it.
Well, but Israel can bulldoze Rachel Corrie.
Yeah.
And nobody says a word?
Yeah.
Okay, photographic evidence shows that the line of sight of the driver of that bulldozer was squarely on Rachel Corrie. He knew she was there. He said he didn't see her.
Yeah.
Yet he ran his bulldozer right over and over her and left her head with tread marks in it.
Wow.
And the photos were shared for everyone to see online.
Nah.
You could see the tread marks in her cheek of a caterpillar tractor going over her head.
Wow.
Okay, and yet they claim not to have seen her, and yet pictures were taken from standing behind her at the same level, and you can clearly see the driver's head and shoulders.
Yeah.
So if you could see that from behind her, he could see her.
Yeah.
So where's the excuse? But nobody ever laid any charges against the son of a gun who did that to her.
Yeah.
Even the U.S. government said, oh, well, collateral damage, is that what we call it when people bulldoze over another human being and squash them to death? That's collateral damage? I don't want to live in such a world.
Yeah, we have a lot of collateral damages these days. All kinds
of people.
Yeah,
it's all of us.
Yeah.
It's all of us. We're
all
collateral
of us,
damage
right.
Now.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, how pathetic is that? Pathetic is that? I don't get it.
Have you heard about this new Israeli defense mechanism where they call it the invisible shield, or they have another name for it? Have you heard of that?
Vaguely, Christopher, but like I said, this has come out in the last little while, and my head has been in boxes and bags and moving. Like I said, my living room still looks like a moving van threw up, so...
Oh, yeah. Well, this is supposed to be like a missile defense system that creates a dome, I guess, around, I don't know if it's major cities or around the country, or I'm not really sure what's involved with it.
Oh, well, it must be to protect from all those ravaging Palestinians with their rocks.
And much more, I guess, if they start a broader conflict, then it's going to serve them.
Amazing how these Palestinians seem to be such superhumans that one guy with a rock turns out to be worth a war.
Yeah.
Come on. You know, and this has been going on for so long now, it's enough to just, oh.
It is. It's disgraceful.
I find myself speechless, which just basically means that I don't have any words I can say on air.
Yeah.
That's essentially what it is. And on top of that, you know, you come out and you say stuff like that, and next thing you know, you're anti-Semitic.
Yeah.
Excuse me? Yeah,
anyway,
right.
Anyway, I don't know. Was that Doug in the background saying we had our guest on?
I didn't hear him.
Yes. We could. I can't get a hold of your guest.
You can't get a hold of John.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Well, I sent John an email, so we'll see what happens. Just keep trying every few minutes, would you please, Doug? Because I've just sent him an email. Let's just see what happens.
Okay.
But, yeah, he is, like I said, he's swamped, and he's confused because he's so swamped and overwhelmed by all of the work that he's been doing, because everything has, you know, eventually it gets to a point where you find the guy who's been saying it all along, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then everybody realizes, oh, this is the guy. Okay, and then everybody wants them, and it's like, whoa, do you ever get slammed?
Yeah.
And the same thing has happened to me over this issue and that issue over the years. I'm sure it's happened to you, too. But once you become the go-to guy, everybody goes, and then you go nuts.
Yeah.
And that's the way that one works. But we've got lots to talk about anyway, so let's not worry about it for the moment. Let's just continue.
We won't. We'll just move on and... Yeah, we were discussing the Palestinians and what a terrible situation that is in, has been and how it's gone on for so many mm-hmm. years. It's just terrible. It's hard to imagine being so imprisoned that you can't even go to work or cross over, leave your country without being taken through all these checkpoints and fingerprinted and people stolen off.
When did we all become terrorists? When did we all become a fearful thing to the state? We never were before. Why are we now?
Yeah, and we're still not, because the real terrorists are the ones who are controlling the whole system. They're the terrorists.
Well, they're controlling the rest of us with terror about, you know, what will happen if we don't do what they say. Now, that's terrorism. That's emotional and intellectual terrorism of another kind. And so we can very justifiably call our government terrorists, including our own.
Because they're trying to
make us afraid of shadows.
And they're deceiving us about who the terrorists really are. Like, they have this proposition that it's Muslim terrorists and Al-Qaeda and all. I mean, everybody knows that's bullshit.
Oh, yeah. You know, one of these days we should get Lori Price from Citizens for Legitimate Government to come on here, because I've been watching with great appreciation for all the stuff that Lori, Michael Rechtenwald over at CLG, but Lori particularly, she'll come out with all this stuff about who the real terrorists are. You know, next thing you know, they got FBI on their site. They got all kinds of government interference on their site. They got all kinds of threats to their site. Why? Because she's pointing out, she calls the Al-Qaeda Al-Qaeda.
Yeah. Alex Jones used to use that.
Yeah. Well, you see, the bottom line is, these people, like Lori, and Lori's a lot more, shall we say, straight up and normal than Alex Jones, who's a real crusader and big mouth and all that stuff. And a lot of people don't like Alex because he's like that.
Yeah, and because of his hiding of the Zionist agenda behind the whole, all his rantings and ravings.
Yeah, well, it's kind of funny. It's kind of funny, some of the connections that are being made now between this guy and that guy, and they don't point out certain things that are really kind of important. It starts to make you wonder a little bit, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But, I mean, the bottom line is that we're dealing now with having to vet information ourselves. There's almost no source we can trust, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the people that I trust more than I trust somebody like Alex Jones, who is a sensationalist and tends to make big stories out of small stories, and, you know, isn't always, shall we say, the best judge of what's maybe right to do or how to react. Then you have people like Lori, who tries to keep a fair and balanced approach, and she does not when she's the editor of CLG, and, you know, what she'll do is she'll print the same story from three different sources in one newsletter.
Oh, yeah. Huh?
And so you get three different viewpoints on the same issue in the same newsletter, and you get to see all of it.
Oh, yeah.
And I have a great deal of respect for that, because it allows the reader to pick and choose between all these three and see the areas of commonality between them, mm-hmm. so that they know if you find the common ground, that's where you find the truth.
Yeah.
It's always found on the common ground.
Yeah.
Right? Like, the truth of religion is in all religions. It's all there in every religion, but it's really shunted into a minor component of what that religion is as an organization.
Yeah.
Right? But this is how it's done. And with Lori, this is why I appreciate that site so much, because they always give multiple viewpoints.
Well, that would be a good idea to try to get Lori on if you can, Dee.
Yeah, well,
you know
what?
Try to get her on our next show.
I hope that I can get her to do that, because, you know, she's a real interesting person, and she is now writing more, which I also appreciate.
Yeah.
And there's just, I'm so sick of BS. You know what I mean? It's like anybody who's going to give me a straight story is somebody I want to talk to.
Yeah.
You know, and I really don't care if it's the devil himself. If he's going to give me the truth, I want it.
Yeah, well, the devil doesn't do that, I'm sure.
Well, yeah, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I know.
You know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Truth is found in very strange places, and the more truth you have, the better off you are. Doesn't matter where it comes from. If it's true, it's real, and if it's real, nothing's going to change it.
Yeah.
So we're supposed to be looking for truth, not who to trust.
Yeah.
You know, that's the trick. You follow people blindly. Well, you know what Christ said about that. He said, when the blind follow the blind, they both shall fall into the ditch.
Oh, yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah.
No kidding. Ever try that? Blind man's buff with a blind leader?
No.
Yeah, boom. There you go. Into the nearest, in the nearest collidable object, you're going to hit it. Guaranteed. You're going to all hit it. Because you're all blind. You're all blindfolded. And this is what we've been doing. We've been playing blind man's buff. We've been walking around with blinders on. We've been following all the people who say that they know, but do they? Do they really?
Yeah.
Are they misguided? Or are they deliberate? We don't know.
Yeah, and there's bound to be some which are of both. Like some people who are simply misguided and, and have an inappropriate understanding of some areas and,
well,
and other people who are intentionally deceiving in certain areas.
This is exactly the point. That's exactly what I'm saying because, you know, there are people who are deliberately telling lies and there are people who are telling lies because they believe it's the truth.
Yeah.
And there's a huge difference between knowing and believing.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't calibrate that into their thought. I believe that is something that is mutable.
Yeah.
It's mutable because it's a belief, not a knowledge of fact.
Yeah.
But when you have a knowledge of fact,
yeah,
that's what it is. You can dance around it all you want. You're not going to change it. And the sun doesn't depend on your observance and respect to rise in the morning either.
No.
You know what I mean? So... There it is. Yeah, it's just, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous, and we're getting hit with it. We're getting hit with it left, right, center, and sideways. We got, like you pointed out, the vaccines, the chemtrails, the water, the air, everything.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah, it astonishes me that there's just no one in authority that a person can go to. It's like all the agencies have themselves become crooked and fallen under this multinational agenda that's being put forward.
Yeah, because they're all being funded by the people who are determining. Our colleges are usurped by money.
Yeah.
Our doctors are usurped by money. Our medical care, our government is usurped.
Yeah.
It's all usurped, and all of it has to do with money on this end. I mean, when you're dealing with the elite, they have all the money.
Yeah, they do.
I mean, they have a stream of wealth that ordinary human beings can't even conceive of.
Yeah.
Can't even conceive of. And yet it would appear that all the money is filtering up somewhere. Well, how is this happening? You start looking at how that happens and it's enough to make you crap your drawers.
Yeah.
It's like they invest in Pampers because you're going to need them.
Yeah. Yeah, really. Yeah. And we see, have you seen any recent news on Hurricane Sandy in New York and New Jersey? Have you been following that at all?
Well, you know what? This is kind of interesting. A couple of things came to light this week. I mean, I was watching, I told my cable company years ago to eat dirt because I watch all my, whatever TV I do watch, I watch it online.
Yeah, me too.
Right? So it's like, eat dirt, go away.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things you get when you're watching stuff online is commercials that you don't necessarily get in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And I see this commercial offering right after Hurricane Sandy. Okay, right after. We're talking the following week. It appears on TNT, which is Turner Network Television. Ted Turner, and we all know that Ted is Bilderberg, the whole CFR, CFR, whatever. But he's got all the elite affiliations.
Yeah.
Right? Well, there's a commercial on there, and it's talking about flood insurance.
Oh, yeah.
Well, all these people in New Jersey and Connecticut and Long Island and Staten Island and even in New York itself, Breezy Point. Far Rockaway, all these places got completely swamped by tsunami, storm, flooding, the whole nine.
Yeah.
Okay? All these people losing their homes, and we'll get to where they are right now in a minute, okay? But here's an ad on TNT television for flood insurance.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going, well, there's somebody taking advantage, you know?
Yeah.
Look at a disaster. Well, see, now next time there's a disaster around, you might want to call us first. They're offering flood insurance on the average property for as little as $129 a year.
Wow.
So that's, you know, $10.10 a month, roughly.
Yeah.
So who's selling the flood insurance? Take a wild guess. Who's selling the flood insurance?
Well, you're saying the Turner Network.
No, no, it's a commercial that was airing on TNT. Somebody had bought the airtime.
Oh, yeah. So
okay,
who was it?
It happened to FEMA.
Oh.
After Hurricane Sandy, FEMA is cleaning up on flood insurance.
Wow.
And in the meantime, they tell people, okay, FEMA's here for your benefit. We're going to take care of you. We're going to get you housing. We're going to this, we're going to that. You know, they put people in tents.
Yeah, I've heard that being put into some of these prisons.
If you go to WorldNet Daily, mm-hmm. okay, you'll find an article there that was just posted in the last couple of days by Chuck Norris. The mm-hmm. Chuck Norris. You know who Chuck Norris is.
The
martial arts
Kung
guy.
Fu, yeah.
Martial arts actor guy, okay? Everybody knows Chuck Norris.
Yeah.
Well, there's Chuck Norris, and he's reporting on the situation in a FEMA camp.
Oh, yeah.
Now, this is where, remember, a few years ago, we all saw as Kellogg Brown and Root got $385 million from the U.S. federal government to build emergency shelters.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, these emergency shelters on the east coast of the United States in the middle of ting-blasted winter, in states that all have winter, these people are put into tents. They have snow
wow.
and slush coming through the floors.
Wow.
They have no heat. They have to line up to use the bathroom and present ID to use the bathroom.
Wow.
They have guards around them, armed guards. They have barbed wire fences with the barbed wire pointed inwards. They are...
Wow.
Surveyed on a moment-by-moment basis by black helicopters. They have black vans going through the setup. They're not allowed to come in or leave. No media is allowed.
Wow.
And if they so much as hook up an iPad or an iPhone,
mm-hmm.
the FEMA people come and shut them down. So in other words, no information in or out to these camps.
Wow.
These people are rebelling, and they're feeling like they are in jail, and in fact they are, because the rest of the population isn't supposed to know what FEMA is doing to these people.
Is there any estimate of how many people are in such FEMA camps at the moment?
Well, I haven't seen one, but you can bet it's thousands.
Yeah.
You can bet it's thousands. I mean, look at the devastation of that. And then, of course, we get into the question of, was Hurricane Sandy, which started out, remember, as Raphael.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it started out as another hurricane that mysteriously disappeared and yet regurgitated itself as Hurricane Sandy.
Oh, yeah.
And then we see the hurricane itself, shades of Katrina, shades of the first Bush election,
mm-hmm.
okay? The hurricane does two hard left, a hard left and then a hard right.
It seemed to me, seeing the hurricane come on shore, that it seemed to split into smaller groups. Did you notice that?
A little bit, it did. But what happened was that they let it. They used HAARP on it. There's no question.
Yeah, that's
There's satellite video on that showing the HAARP and chemtrail influence in Hurricane Sandy, and it's very, very visible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you can see the chemtrails underneath the storm. Now, how's that possible? Right? If they weren't leading it along so that it was not paying attention and destroying these chemtrails or wiping them out,
mm-hmm.
then that's how that could happen. But then you got all kinds of, undulation. It was sonic undulation, meaning they're using sound waves to direct this thing. And it did a hard left. Now, this is interesting. Remember the Bounty replica, the ship that went down, the tall ship? They lost two people off that ship. Well, that ship, the tall ship, was leaving New York Harbor and heading down to its winter berth in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and they left basing their travel on the course of the storm as it was projected at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so they, according to the projection at the time, by hugging the shoreline going down the south coast, they figured to be out of range of that hurricane in a matter of a day or two.
Oh, yeah.
And they wouldn't be having anything except a little bit of chop in the water.
Mm-hmm.
Well, all of a sudden, they're in the middle of it, and their ship's taken on water. The ship sinks. They lose, you know, two people, the captain and one other person, who happened to be a descendant of Fletcher Christian, who was the mutineer on the first real Bounty. Okay. So the captain and this Christian girl got killed. Okay. And why was that? Well, that's because the hurricane took a hard right and crossed the course that they thought was going to be safe.
When was
a hard left, sorry. It turned left into the shore. Then it did a hard right to continue up the coast.
When
Not
was
possible.
This, when was this, Dee, this, that this went down?
Well, the ship went down in the at the time when the storm was hitting New York. And
Katrina.
No, Sandy.
Oh, no. Sandy, I meant. That's what I meant to say. Yeah, yeah.
Just as
I didn't, hadn't
was
heard
turned,
that.
As the hurricane was turned into the coast, well, it's because people aren't looking at it.
Yeah.
Right? I'm looking at it and going, well, why would they set out in weather like that? Only if they thought they were clear of it.
Yeah,
and why
exactly.
would they think they were clear of it? Well, because the projections of the trajectory of that storm did not include where they were going. And then all of a sudden it did.
Yeah, well.
All of a sudden it did. And I'm looking at it and I'm going, you know what? The woman that died in that storm, who's a descendant of Fletcher Christian, that should be basically an icon to us all. It ought to be a heads up to us all. Now is the time to mutiny, everybody.
Yeah.
You know, you want to put it that way. Now is the time, because at this point in time, look what happened to them. They were destroyed because the storm was steered.
Yeah.
They were destroyed because of that. And I have no doubt about that, because I've never in all my born days, and I've been around a long time, as you know, okay, never in all my born days, unless it was Katrina or the three hurricanes that threaded their way up, braided their way through every Democratic riding in Florida just before Bush got elected. The first time W. Bush got elected the first time.
Oh, I didn't know that, yeah.
Oh, yeah, three separate hurricanes. They hit every Democratic county in the state, left every Republican county clean and unhit.
Wow.
So that's real interesting as well. Now, in those circumstances, which were those hurricanes, the ones that were, the one that was pushed into New Orleans, Katrina and Sandy, only those three have I ever seen something that was so clear, so very clear that somebody was steering these things around like they had a ring through its nose.
Yeah,
and that's all hard.
Yeah.
But you see, I'm saying, you know, to my mind, it looks to me like the Bounty got trapped by their manipulation.
Oh, yeah.
They manipulated the hurricane, therefore the Bounty, which would not under any... No, what captain is going to take a tall ship out into a hurricane?
Yeah, I can.
Not going to do that.
Yeah.
So clearly they believe the hurricane was not going to take a hard left, but it did.
Yeah.
It did, and then it took a hard right to continue up the coast. And now you've got a whole bunch of... Gee, isn't it interesting how they always hit the tourist areas?
Yeah. You have the New Jersey Shore?
New Jersey. Well, you know what? That show ought to be tsunamied off television, but that's another story. Jersey Shore. It's another way that they keep us all dumbed down, is these stupid reality shows that aren't even close to reality, but we're all told that they are.
Yeah. Yeah, really.
You know? But, I mean, this is what I'm seeing. It's like, if people are being told now buy flood insurance from FEMA. Hello? Yeah, otherwise we'll come in and save you. Look how they save people. Here you go. Here's your winter accommodations. You're going to be spending Christmas in a tent.
Yeah, yeah, in our FEMA compound.
And never mind the snow. That's okay.
Yeah.
You know, it's okay if you freeze. No problem.
Yeah.
You were talking billions upon billions upon billions of damage, and all of these agencies like the Red Cross are making out gangbusters, and that's another agency that just got exposed.
I saw that on the Brass Check CD listing, the exposure of the Red Cross and how they had done absolutely nothing. Well, a few minor things in devastated areas, but really nothing. And it was community groups that really lifted up and served people, and smaller church organizations.
Okay, I just got an email from John. He says, I'm here and brain-addled, call me. So, Doug, please call John right now.
Okay, good. Well, we've still got 25 minutes left.
I know,
he'll be fine.
You know how John is. He's wonderful at this kind of stuff. So, you know, we'll just turn him loose.
Yeah, we'll let it give him free reign.
Here you go. You got 25 minutes. Go for it.
Yeah, we've given enough of an introduction to him, so...
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, we've basically covered everything on his.
Oh, okay. So what, Dee? I'll let you bring John on.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hi, John. Hi,
brain
John.
Damaged.
Yeah. Well, you know, we all are. I've been moving, and you've been swamped because of what you've been doing. And I was pointing this out earlier, that you know you've been exposing so much stuff and getting so very famous over the last little while, which is aces as far as I'm concerned. That you've been swamped, and we were very lucky to have you at all. So, you know, we're now a little short of time, but we're going to just let you go for it. I know you want to talk about vote fraud. I know you've got a gazillion things to say. So, you know, without any interference and without further ado, as far as I'm concerned, one of the best, if not the best, investigative journalists on this planet who's brave enough to speak out, this is John Rappaport. John, it's all yours.
Thank you, Dee. Sorry again for missing the beginning. Okay. The day after the election, when Prop 37, which was to label all GMO food in California, went down to defeat, it was pointed out to me that there were probably a lot of votes that hadn't yet been counted, and so I decided to find out how many. And to make a long story short, made some phone calls and discovered I found 1.6 million votes that hadn't yet been counted as of a couple of days after the election, and just four counties out of 57 in California. And then a couple of days later, it turned out the actual figure, according to the Secretary of State, was 3.3 million. And so, like any half-sane person, I thought, well, then how do they know that Prop 37 was defeated? And I started to write about it, and all of a sudden these articles blew up, and they were getting everywhere, and people were getting upset for various reasons, pro and con, and I was assured, oh, well, the people that make these projections know what they're talking about, and we have to fold up our tent and move on, and it's all over, blah, blah, blah. So any attempts to contact the Yes on 37 campaign were futile on my part. People didn't want to talk to me. In one case, I called up somebody who was reputed to be one of the funders of the campaign, and his assistant said, no, he said he doesn't want to talk to you, that you should direct all your comments to the Yes on 37 people. And I said, yeah, well, I've tried, but their phone number is just an answering machine, and they're still telling people to vote yes on 37, even though the election's over. And she said, well, that's the ball game. And I said, well, tell him that I've got significant evidence about a vote fraud, and if he's interested. And she said, we know. We've been reading your blog. Thank you very much. So I began to get a weird feeling like these people were crazy, the yes on 37 people, or some of them were crazy. Why do you give up? But at the same time, because I've been around the block a few times, I knew how these people operate. You don't challenge the system, see. You play by the rules, and if they say you lose, you move on, because if you make yourself into a pariah and you say the whole system is corrupt, then according to the rules, again, you are now crazy and no longer have any credibility. So you just have to bow and say thank you very much and try it in another state,
mm-hmm.
which is what they've done, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't like that.
Further
I went, the more fraud indications that I found, you know. Electronic voting fraud is a reality in California. It's been a reality for a long time. The forces of evil that were against Prop 37, you know, they don't have any standards or rules that they play by. If they could fix an election, they would do it in a heartbeat. There's all these uncounted votes. And who makes these projections right after the polls close and automatically all the networks and the television stations and newspapers up and down the state of California say, oh, that's it. Prop 37 loses. So I began to investigate that. And one of the things that came up out of the hopper, I haven't checked the website of the state of California in the last few days, but on election night, when they called the election against Prop 37, the percentages were 53 against and 47 for
mm-hmm.
37. And a few days ago, the percentages were the same, give or take a few tenths of a percentage point. Well, what kind of insanity is that? How is that possible? It's not going to budge from the moment that these, geniuses make their call on election night. The percentages are going to stay the same.
It always budges. We've all seen elections with projections.
Yeah, of course. So, that's further indication that there's insane fraud here. And yet, the leaders of the Yes on 37 campaign have absolutely zero interest in this. Zero interest. And then, I'm telescoping all this. There's a lot more to this. But the last thing I wrote on this was, what about all the natural food sellers in California?
Oh, this is good.
Whose side are they really on? Because if you look at, for example, Whole Foods Markets, which is a gigantic presence in California, they sell thousands of products that are labeled natural. And a huge number of those actually contain genetically engineered ingredients. So what would they be faced with if all of a sudden Yes on 37 won? And then, flash forward, and people are coming into the store, and they're going up to the counter, and they're saying, guess what, man? I just counted 400 products in your store that say genetically engineered, and you're supposed to be the healthiest health food store in California. You guys are blah, and then bleep, bleep, bleep.
Uh-huh.
How would they feel? And so which side were they really on? And this has been overlooked. Nobody really wants us to talk about this.
Yeah, there was another point I made earlier when we were kind of looking for you. But there was a point that I brought up earlier that there was a scandal, I'm sure you remember, last year, or actually it was even earlier this year, about Whole Foods Market, which is all over North America. We have them here in Toronto. They're all over the place. And what was going on was they were exposed as actually carrying from some genetically modified product. Made the point that even organic stuff can contain 5% GMO now.
Yeah, right.
So,
sure, they, people went in there and interviewed their employees on a video and...
Mm-hmm.
A whole scandal. But the bigger scandal is that if it was required that all the products in those markets, which are genetically engineered, would be labeled, it would be, talk about scandalous. I don't know. 300, 400, 1,000, I don't know how many products would turn out to be genetically engineered in that store. People would go nuts.
Yep.
They would say, well, this is a betrayal, you know. And the people that run Whole Foods are fully aware of this, of course. They were aware of it from the beginning. As soon as Prop 37 went on the ballot a long time ago, they knew what they were up against.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just Whole Foods. It's all kinds of food sellers, natural food sellers, so-called, in California, all up and down the state. I mean, it's just rampant. So do you really think that they wanted 37 to win, actually?
Mm-hmm.
And if they were connected to some of the big shots in the Yes on 37 campaign, how might they have influenced the message that Yes on 37 was trying to get out to the public during the campaign? I wrote extensively about this. The main message was, you have a right to know what's in your food. If it's genetically engineered, then you have a right to know. But unfortunately, most people in California and everywhere else don't have a clue about what that really means, genetically engineered or Monsanto or any of that. So along with that had to be a very big educational campaign, which didn't happen for Yes on 37. Why didn't it happen? And one of the reasons, I believe, is because the natural so-called food sellers in California didn't want it to happen, because they would be exposed in the process. It would logically suddenly come back to them. Well, who are these guys, you know, that say they're selling natural food? Guess what? It's not. You know, so my conclusion was that the big shots in 37 were, Yes on 37, were pulling their punches all along from the beginning. And they don't want to talk to me because they know that I know.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't want to ask for or demand a recount or challenge the whole voting system in California as being fraudulent and easy to hack into, because they just don't have what it takes for that kind of a campaign.
Yeah,
they
yeah.
want to say, we're playing by the rules and we lost, and so now we have to go on somewhere else. And, you know, we've educated 4 million people about all of this, and it's a wonderful thing, and the sentiment is growing, and blah, blah, blah. Well, let's see what happens in the state of Washington when they go there, because that's their next stop to try to get a ballot measure. And let's see if it really is going to pay off. Maybe it will, but I have my doubts. I have serious questions about these people who are at the top of these ballot measures and what they're really trying to do here.
Exactly. I mean, it's really, there's a conflict of interest no matter which way you look. And, you know, I drew a lot of fire a few years ago when I was saying to people, you know, they talk about the allopathic medicine industry, and, you know, you've pointed out that it is industry many, many times that I've seen over the years, and I'm looking at the natural health industry and saying, what, you think these guys don't buy stuff too? You think these guys don't have wallets too, don't have homes too, don't have cars too? No matter where you are, if you're selling a product, your profit is going to be your main, it's going to be your mainstay. So you've got a whole lot of natural health companies that are under an awful lot of pressure not to be so natural anymore. And when they come down to a choice between, gee, do I eat this week, or do I martyr my family and my business, guess what they're going to say?
Exactly. Exactly. That's right. And, you know, I don't hold it against anybody to make a profit. Hey, that's great. But when you are duplicitous about it and you're really a phony, let's get it on the table.
Yeah. And,
you know,
and the
if
other
you run
point,
a health food store that's going to be reputable, you say, look, here's the way we do business. Over here is organic food. Now, we try our best with this stuff that there's no GMOs in it. But even there, there's going to be traces of GMOs, and there's the whole question whether organic seeds are really, you know, could be GMO from the beginning. We try our best to do our best so that it's absolutely pure. And if you want that, it's all over on this side of the store. Now, over here, we've got all these other products, and we call a lot of them natural. In fact, we don't call them natural. The people that sell them to us call them natural. And they're better than the crap that you're going to get in the usual supermarket. But Yeah. You're going to find GMOs all over the place here, and that's just the way it is.
Yeah,
if you
I had a big argument by email with the director of PR for Monsanto Canada.
I saw that.
Yeah, and this woman actually said there's no need for labeling because if it's got corn, soy, cottonseed, canola, or sugar in it, it's all GMO. So it's already labeled. You don't need to know. I'm going, can you say cop-out? Because, I mean, how many people really know the extent of GMO in our food these days anyway? It's estimated, what, we eat our own weight every year in GMOs and don't even know it? And then we wonder how come we're sick?
Right.
Like, holy crap, this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
This is ridiculous.
There's something else I got to say here, too, because, you know, this was a recurring nightmare that goes back for me all the way to the early 1990s. You get into a campaign, an activist campaign, that has to do with, you know, clean food, organic food, natural medicine versus drug medicine, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And there are groups, there are many groups that want certain outcomes, and these are supposed to be the good guys. And the question always comes up eventually, how far are they willing to go in the fight? Under what parameters are they willing to take it to the bad guys? And if you are an aware person and you press for answers, you inevitably discover that there are limits. They have limits. They actually have limits.
Mm-hmm.
And they will enforce those limits. And when the limits are exceeded, they will plead either ignorance or, I don't know what to do, what do I do now? They ask me what to do. They're the people that are supposed to be thinking about this stuff all the time. I got all these questions. Well, what do we do now? When I started writing these articles, I said, well, look, I'm digging for the truth. I'm going to keep publishing it. You guys have to decide what to do about it, but, I mean, take it to the wall, for Christ's sakes. Don't just sit there and wonder and suck your thumb. I mean, you're organized to be an activist group. So, you know, go for it. But that's not the way it works, unfortunately.
Yeah.
In most cases, that is not the way it works. And that's a betrayal. That is
big
a betrayal.
Time. Yeah, big time. It's getting, like, to the point where the conflicts of interest are too great for honesty to exist anywhere.
Yeah, I mean, I know you from a long time ago, so I know confidently when I talk to you that you're one of the people who doesn't have any limit. But I also know that you, like me, encounter time and time again these people that are supposed to be on our side, but they look at us and they say, well, these people are just too far out. We can't deal with them because, I mean, what they're talking about, that's just outside our parameters. I mean, come on.
Well, that's a whole other show, John. That's a whole other show.
Yeah.
You
that's
know.
A whole other life.
Yeah.
And that's
and
what
I
happened.
I wish I had right about now, but hey. You know?
Yeah, I mean, you point out to them the corruption of the voting system. And they say, well, that might be, but, I mean, we have no basis on which to challenge this, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And, I mean, even the hackers, I got to take them to task, too, because I wrote an article called A Call to Hackers Everywhere.
Yeah, I pointed that out earlier in the show, too. You had done that because that's the only way we're going to know.
Yeah, I said, okay, look, you're supposed to be such great hackers, and I know that some of you are extremely talented. I mean, I gave chapter and verse in a couple of articles. You know, some 16-year-old kid who's hacked into the Pentagon, Interpol, NSA, right? And the California voting system, are you kidding? That's like a piece of cake, right?
That's a
so the thing to do is
to
issue a challenge if you're a great hacker.
It's nothing but a piggy bank to them.
I want to have the Secretary of State's sitting next to me. I want to have the FBI. I want to have the Federal Election Commission. And I'm going to show you how easy it is to hack into the California voting system. Okay? Are you willing to take the challenge? This is not a crime. This is just a demonstration. And I'll show you what the story really is when it comes to not just a hacker, but a talented hacker. Okay,
exactly.
There's a big difference.
This is exactly
We'll have it out. And if you win, I will say, man, you guys are good. And if I win, you're going to have to go back to the drawing boards and let everybody know, because we're going to broadcast this as a live streaming event all over the world, right? And we'll see who wins. Mm. Come on. Well, I've gotten zero replies on this. I mean, nothing from any hacker anywhere. Nobody has come forward to say, what a great idea, and I'm going to do it, and come to this website because I'm going to issue a challenge to the California Secretary of State. No.
Well, gee, you know, they did it with the TSA, didn't they? Didn't they have some guy from one of the Alphabet Soup gangs go in with a gun five times and beat the system five times?
That's right. They did that.
So why can't they do it here? Like, why do they have the balls to do it over there, but they don't have the balls to do it here?
Yeah, exactly. Because, you see, there was already a lot of sentiment against the TSA.
Uh-huh.
So somebody figured, okay, the quote, the people are on my side. Therefore, if I do this, I'll be okay. But when it comes to the actual voting system of the, you know, the most, I guess, the most populous state in the union now, California, which is like the sixth biggest economy in the world, and we're going to show that the voting system is a total fraud, well, now it's a little bit different, a little bit different. Mm. Because once you see that, then everybody says, well, what about the other 49 states? In fact, what about the federal, you know, blah, blah, the presidential election? It's going to spread like wildfire.
And you know what I see that's really interesting, John, here, is the fact that if you can do it with the TSA, you can do it anywhere. And that just shows that public opinion still holds power.
That's
so
right.
If we still have power, then where the hell are they? Where are all these people who have the power in their back pocket to say no? Why aren't they?
Yeah.
Dee and John, I noticed we're right down to the last couple minutes. I wonder if there's any conclusion John wanted to leave with us before we finish our show.
I don't know. I think everything I've said is a conclusion. But I still want to see somebody show up and say, I can beat the system, right? Sit me down, and I'll show you how I can hack into the California voting system six different ways at six different points in the system. And
well,
I will reveal
how I can change
the result of an election.
Yeah.
You know, it's simple. Let's see it.
Well,
I am completely confident it can be done.
Well, they've already shown it in other venues.
Because of what people have done already.
Yeah, they've already shown it in other venues. Why not this one?
Yeah, let's go.
Why not?
Let's see.
Why not?
Let's get it over with.
Yeah, exactly. You know, put up or shut up time.
I'll say one other thing, and I wrote about this. You can find it on the California Secretary of State's website. In 2007, she ordered what she called a top-to-bottom review of all electronic voting systems in California in current use at the time. Four of them. They were all shown to be fatally flawed, which, of course, throws into doubt all prior elections that use those systems, but she didn't say anything about that. Read that report from beginning to end, and you will be absolutely shocked out of your pants by all the incredible things that they discovered when they looked at the system. It's not buttoned up by the slightest, stretch of the imagination. It's wide open. So check that out. It's really interesting.
Yeah, calling all hackers, people. Come on, let's just hack into the information highway ourselves. And get our heads on straight, because our lives are at stake. Our very lives are at stake.
Call the Secretary of State's office, call the FBI, call the FEC, and say, I am an expert, and I want to show you a demonstration of how I can hack the election in California.
Yeah, well, that's I agree with you 100%. I think that's what we need. I think we need demonstrations. I think we need them in a hurry. But we got to close the show. I wish we didn't, but we have to.
Yeah, we do. Yeah. Thanks, John, for
thank you, guys. As always, it's great to be here.
Yeah, great.
Well, we'll have you back again, and maybe this time none of us will be addled.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
no more
not.
Fake news, your articles, eh?
Yeah, nomorefakenews.com, and that's the fact.
Yeah, great. thanks, John.
Thanks, guys. Thanks again.
Thank you, John, for everything, and we'll talk again soon.
Okay, Dee. Take care.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Okay, Dee, we're right down to the very final here. So goodbye, Dee. We'll be back in 2 weeks.
Yeah, if we're all still alive.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't inhale chemtrails, don't drink the water, and don't eat the food. Maybe we'll still be here.
And while you're doing that, visit zeropoint.ca is my publications up there.
Yeah, and we'll make sure these archives are available.
Yeah,
for people to share and to post and to cross-post and to publicize, because it's now to the point where everybody's got to know, and we got to know now.
Yeah.
Got to know now. So God bless. Have a great week. Have a great 2 weeks, and I'll see you then. Christopher, thanks again for everything.
Yeah, thank you, Dee.
So we will talk soon.
Okay, goodbye.
Goodbye.